Wow, what a wonderful day. It's been an amazing week. For us personally, it's been a week of many challenges because we've been putting a roof on Kiermaier, where we live, and we've had people leaving, which has been sad, and people coming, which is exciting. We've had contacts and challenges with the Immigration Department and all sorts of other things. And threaded through this very busy time has been the wonderful opportunity to come to this place and hear the voice of God and to meet with Jesus in a special way. And I hope all of you will be able to come tonight because we're going to pray for the nations tonight, and it's going to be a wonderful season as well. So tonight, is it 7:30, Marty? 7:30 tonight, and we'll go through to that room there where it's been prepared especially. And during this next week, I understand that that lovely prayer room that Andrea and Marty have prepared for us, a beautiful place if you haven't been there, it's available, and I certainly have been so blessed by the stillness in that place. And interestingly, the first words I got when I went in there were words that somebody, and I'm trying to remember which one of us, quoted these words quite recently, the same thing. The Lord said to me, put your burden down and rest at my feet. And it was just so lovely to rest at his feet and to just be in that shalom presence of the Lord. I'm really enjoying the series on the Lord's Prayer, and it is the most amazing prayer in the whole world. And, you know, at night time on the way to sleep, I just love to reflect on all or some of the phrases in it. Well, today the one for me is, give us this day our daily bread. And I feel a bit like a baker who's been collecting ingredients for quite a long time. And I've had these ingredients every time I see something in the Bible that makes me think of this, or I hear something on Sid Roth, or I hear something in Rick Joyner or somebody else, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, that could be good. So I'm writing down these little bits all over the place. And I had this book with all these various notes. And again, like a baker, I was up around 3 o'clock in the morning to bake it into a loaf of bread. Okay, so it's fresh bread, I promise you. It came this morning, between 3 and 4 this morning. And it's taken from all these ingredients, and I do thank the Lord for his people all around the world who share their truths with us and the Holy Spirit who makes them come alive. I love the fact that the Lord's Prayer starts with a focus on Father, our Father. It's the same focus we've been having in worship this morning. He's our Father in heaven. And we honor him. And this is how we start, with his name being honored, his kingdom, his will. So that's where the focus starts. And the word for today is then putting the focus on us. And there are three requests about us. And the first one is this one. Give us this day our daily bread. Always remembering, as the Vineyard notes say, that God is our provider. Bill Johnson, let us not be blinded by our own self-sufficiency, but rather lean into God's sufficiency. It's such a privilege that every day our basic needs are being met by God. And like all good fathers, even earthly fathers, and far more than earthly fathers, he gives good gifts to his children. So out of this flows that gratitude that leads us to have thanks and grace before meals, and also to have a heart of generosity to others because of what we've been given. Give us this day. You know, we only ever have today. This is the day. This is the day. And there's fresh bread for today. It's so good. Nobody's asking you to live on yesterday's crumbs. Jesus never said, gather up the stuff that was left over from a week ago. He says, this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Fresh provision. This was so important that for 40 years, the children of Israel were taught this by being given manna every day freshly. And that story of the manna was just repeated and repeated all through the Old Testament and then again a number of times by Jesus in the New Testament. Bread for the day. You know, Jesus always, when he inaugurated the kingdom of heaven, took earthly things and gave them a spiritual dimension, bringing earth to heaven, heaven to earth. Just as in the natural, so in the spiritual. God has a fresh word for us today. We sometimes use the word rhema word, rhema being a Greek word for a freshly breathed word. Last night, some of us were praying for the city, and we were reflecting on the stresses of modern society, the unrealistic time constraints, the financial constraints of people squeezing more and more out of contractors, who in turn heap more and more on their employees, their underlings, whoever. Well, Jesus's focus is so different. It's away from all of that to childlike, as Marty was saying, the childlike simplicity of dependence on Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. Well, there's a lot in the Bible about bread. It started in the garden. After the life of Shalom, Adam and Eve were banished through their rebellion to a life of stress, getting bread by hard work and sweat, as it says in Genesis 3. But Jesus came to restore shalom. He came to lift off those heavy burdens and the pressure of unrealistic demands. And you know the second reference to bread in the Old Testament? I was quite surprised to find, and quite excited to find, it's in Genesis 14, and it really is a foreshadowing of communion. It was when Abram got back from rescuing Lot. He'd been kidnapped, and Abram went to get him, and when he came back from his successful mission, he was met by this mysterious figure of Melchizedek, king of Salem, which means peace, the king of peace. And the king of peace is also described as a priest, the priest of the most high God, El Elyon. And he gave Abram bread and wine, and he blessed him. And in Hebrews 7, we find that this foreshadows Jesus, the king of righteousness, the king of peace, who brings us bread and wine for our spiritual nourishment. So we're going to be sharing in communion in a little while. In the wilderness, the hungry tribes were fed daily with this heavenly bread, this mysterious manna, which basically means, what is it? Only when Jesus came did they find out what it was. It was heavenly bread, bread of heaven, foreshadowing Jesus, the living bread, the one who not only created and sustained the universe, but who keeps us alive spiritually as well as physically. His word feeds our spirit man. And this is why when Jesus was in the wilderness, the very first temptation was about bread. And Jesus said to Satan, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need that. We need the nourishment of the word of God to keep us alive, people. Every word. And it's interesting, again, it's a fresh word, the word that is proceeding, not the word that preceded back in, you know, generations past or whatever. No, it's the present, the preceding word of the mouth of God now. Which reminds us that this is the God's nature. He lives in the eternal now. He lives in the eternal present. His name is Yahweh, the great I am. We have this lovely little tent of meeting here, and you know that in the wilderness there was a tent of meeting as well. And that was a little bit more elaborate. It had a table, and the table was lit by seven lamps on a lampstand, and they burnt with olive oil. And on the table there was the bread of presence. I don't know if you realize, but that bread was fresh bread, and that it was sprinkled with frankincense. And again, it's such a picture of Jesus. He's the bread of the presence. It's through Jesus we have the presence of the Lord with us. And the frankincense speaks of his divinity. He is holy God, the Lord of all. And yet he chooses to identify himself with something as basic as bread. Not gâteau, not, you know, cordon bleu specials. Bread, the most basic peasant food. Amazing. And the other thing that's interesting to me is that this bread was lit by the lamps, which speak to us of the bread of the Word, which is lit by the Holy Spirit, who makes it come alive to us, enlightens us. And also, it's interesting to note that the bread was only in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, eaten by priests. But now in the New Covenant, we've all got access to it. In the old days, it would have been only Marty who was allowed to have it. And, oh yes, and James. But the rest of us would have just been around, you know. But now, in the new covenant, we all have access to the bread. Amazing, because we're all called priests. We're all part of the royal priesthood. And I think that's one of the truths behind the feeding of the 5,000. The bread was for everybody. And then the feeding of the 4,000, bread for everybody. And Jesus is breaking the bread and giving thanks and sharing it. And then he's explaining to his disciples, don't focus your lives on bread that goes bad. Focus your lives on the bread that lasts forever. This is the food which the Son of Man will give you. And he goes on to say, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. We've been singing about being hungry and hungry and thirsty for Jesus. He is the only one who can satisfy that hunger. As he says, my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats me will live forever. Well, that was pretty cannibalistic, offensive talk to some people who didn't get what he was really meaning. Some did, just a few did, people like Simon Peter, who said, Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are Messiah, Jesus the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth, a great hero of the faith, got it too. He said, read the word of God, consume the word of God until it consumes you. Believe the word of God and act on the word of God. Wow. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, let's keep that dual emphasis of earth and heaven. Thank him for the nourishment that keeps us alive on this earth, doing what he's called us to do, but thank him for that living word. I'm going to just close with a story. During the Cultural Revolution, Mao banned all books except his own little red book. So Christians in that time were very hungry for the word of God. Anybody who was found with Bible or part of a Bible was beaten, tortured, and imprisoned, sometimes lost their lives. Now, I've just been reading the story of the heavenly man, which tells a story set in this time. Yuan was a teenager. He was 16, and he was the eldest of six in a peasant family. His mother was Christian, but she was illiterate, and the only thing she knew about Jesus was Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin and sickness. That's all she knew. But it was enough. The family, already poor, became desperately poor when their father developed cancer, and they sold every last thing in their house to help him. Now, the mother had been taught that Jesus died to save from sickness, so they really, as a family, began to pray for healing for this very sick father, and miraculously he was healed, and through his healing, the whole extended family became followers of Jesus. And they were so hungry, especially Yuan, the 16-year-old. Hearing that there was this book that had the teachings of Jesus, he tried to find a Bible. And he did find a pastor, and the pastor said, well, look, if you fast and pray, you can get one. So he began to fast and pray, and he prayed and fasted for 100 days. And then he had a dream. In the dream, he saw three men walking up a hill, pushing a large cart full of bread. The old man looked at Yuan with a face full of grief and compassion, and he said to the boy, are you hungry? And in the dream, the boy burst into sobs, and he cried and cried and said, yes, I'm terribly hungry. We're all hungry. We're starving. Our father's been sick, and we've sold everything to help him. We've sold everything, and we've got nothing left. And the old man picked up a red bag filled with bread, and he gave it to his two servants, and he said, give this to Yuan. Eat it immediately. So Yuan got the bread, and he took it, and as he began to eat it, it turned into a Bible. He woke up praising and thanking God, and he was quite sure there was a Bible somewhere in the house. So he ran around the house, disturbing everybody, saying, where's my Bible? Where's my Bible? I know it's here somewhere. And then he began to cry because he couldn't find it. His parents thought he'd gone completely crazy, and they began to cry. So the three of them were there crying and praying together, thinking this poor boy, his head's turned from all this fasting. And then they heard a very faint knock at the door. Yuan ran to the door, and he, without opening it, he said through the crack in the door, are you bringing bread for us? Yes, they said, we have a bread feast for you. And he opened a door, and there were the two servants that he'd seen in the dream. And one held out a red bag, and inside was a Bible. Like a hungry child, Yuan began to read it. Now, you understand that in the time of the Cultural Revolution, they changed the language a lot. It was greatly simplified, so it was really hard for him to read the Bible. It was in archaic Chinese. He had to use a dictionary for almost every second word. But he began to read it and consume it. It was delicious. It fed his spirit. And he began to memorize it, every chapter. And he was a hardworking peasant out in the fields all day. But every day he memorized a chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I tell you, this man puts my life to shame. But anyway, thank the Lord for Yuan. And after he'd read all 28 chapters, a nearby village said, come and tell us more about Jesus. So he went to that village, and all he knew was the 28 chapters of Matthew. So he thought, right, and he began to recite the 28 chapters of Matthew from chapter 1 right through to the end. And then the power of God fell on that village, and there was a mighty, mighty turning to God, and they were saved and healed and delivered. And from that time on, he continued to consume and be consumed by the word of God. He shared it. He acted on it. He saw mighty miracles, incredible healings. He was in and out of prison. He was tortured for his faith. He was always on the run, sharing the living bread from one end of China to the next. And today, there are literally tens of millions of house church believers in China who acknowledge their debt to that boy, Yuan, the heavenly man. You know, there's a banquet waiting for us as well, a feast. Do we realize what a feast we have? Do we realize, Jesus, we hunger and we thirst for you. Make us more hungry for you. Help us to be consumed by love for you, love for your word, to allow that word to act in us and to be lived out of us. So as we take the word today, I pray that we're going to receive it with thanksgiving and that we are going to also listen for the Rhema word that he has for each one of us. I hope he has spoken to you already, but maybe there's something more for you. Now, I'm just going to invite up our home group if they are able to come, because for the last 3 weeks or so, we have been given prophetic words for one another, and it's been incredibly strengthening and building for our inner man. And on Wednesday night, when our home group was involved in praying, we felt to pray especially and minister to our wonderful pastors, who are such an incredible blessing to us, as you, I'm sure, are realizing if you don't already know this, how God has blessed us with people who listen for his word, who are consumed by love for his word, and who give us fresh bread from heaven. So we're going to now invite you to the feast. And if any of you are still waiting or would love to hear a Rhema word or a specific word for you today, I know that these people are all able, by the Holy Spirit, to share fresh bread with you, spiritual bread, as well as the physical bread. By the way, because it's Lebanon is the mission's focus, we've got Lebanese bread. And interesting, we have a student at our hostel who comes from that area. And when I put it in the kitchen, he was so excited. He picked it up and he hugged it to himself. Oh, my bread. So there you go.
We're just going to pray, first of all, for the cup, the wine. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have given us this cup of blessing. And as we take it and drink it together, we pray that you will fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. Your life will flow through us. And Lord, your glory will descend upon us. And we thank you that you gave your blood that we would be saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Jesus, as we take your bread this morning, we just bring our attention back to the cross. The cross that was not a pretty place. Your broken body. Broken for us. Broken for our salvation, for our healing, and for our cleansing. As we eat this bread this morning, this living bread, we just appropriate your salvation, your healing, and your cleansing for our lives and for our families, Lord. Let us have fresh revelation of your living bread available for us every day. Every day. Amen.
Just when you're ready, do come forward. The banquet awaits. Healing is the children's bread. If anybody still needs anything, any prayer for healing or any other concern that you have, please don't hesitate to come. We're so happy to pray with you here. And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance on you and give you his peace, his shalom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.